Just before we partake of a very delicious lunch, I would like to talk about giving thanks to the Lord. That should be no surprise. And I want to read for you a psalm, then a sentence, and then a story. That's kind of interesting, a minister taking three separate texts with about 10 minutes to preach. But that's okay. Here's the psalm. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Isn't it interesting that the psalmist says that we are to come into the worship of God with praise and with thanksgiving already in our hearts? Not that the worship experience is supposed to be created for us, but we are to come into worship. We are to enter into His gates and into His presence with thanksgiving already there in our hearts. And for good reason. God is infinitely worthy of our praise and gratitude because He is our Creator. He made us, and He has remade us in redemption so that we are now the sheep of His pasture, benefiting from all of His abundant provisions and grace. It's as though the psalmist in this 100th psalm is saying, how can we not be grateful and sing praises to our Lord, and not in a dull manner, but shout to the Lord. Sing praises to Him and delight in Him. Well, that's the psalm. In one sentence, as redemptive history has progressed and there is no longer the anticipation of the arrival of the Messiah, but He has arrived. And He has accomplished so great a salvation for us by His redemptive death. The psalmist, as it were, takes Paul, as it were, takes the psalm and presses it into a single sentence. And so in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, we read, thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift. He's thinking about, he's reflecting on, he's marveling over, he's relishing in who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for him as God's supreme gift of grace. And he says, thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift, a gift too awesome for words, His unspeakably glorious gift. And you take this single sentence and you take this psalm and you put them together, and what the scriptures are saying is that gratitude is a hallmark of the child of grace. We are a people who are grateful because of who our God is and what He's done for us, and we need no one to churn that up for us. It's just who He is. How can we keep quiet when it comes to gratitude? Oh, but there is the problem now, isn't it? Sometimes we forget to be thankful. And that brings us to the story. It's in Luke 17, and I'll just read it for you, beginning in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went on their way, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So there are these 10 lepers who are healed, and one returns and expresses his gratitude to God, because that's what believers do, right? Think about it for a moment. How much do you have to be grateful for? I made a list. It was a long list. I'm quite serious about it. I had to go 2 full pages. And then I looked over the list and said, when is the last time you said thank you, God, in a meaningful way for the long list? So I had some catching up to do. You ever feel that way sometimes? Think about it. Did you know our chief preoccupation in heaven will be that we will be a people who praise and thank God? In the book of Revelation, there are 4 or 5 scenes, depending on how you look at that book. And God is high and exalted and all glorious. And the Lamb of God, who's standing there as the center of heaven's high praise. And all the people from every language and nation and culture are looking at him and beholding him and loving him and singing praise to him. Praise and honor and glory and blessing and thanks forever and ever and ever be unto our God, for he has redeemed us with his precious blood. And they do it all the time in heaven. And guess what? No one gets bored there doing the same old thing over and over, because heaven is a place where there is ever intensifying, ever increasing joy in the worship of our God. There are eternal pleasures at God's right hand, and the chief of those pleasures is praising and thanking your God. That will be our chief preoccupation in heaven. Did you know 140 times in the Bible we are commanded, it's an imperative, we are instructed to give thanks to God? 140 times. Paul, in his epistles, issues that same command 10 times, and then 18 more times he expresses his own gratitude in his 13 letters. Which means Scripture is saturated with actual expressions of praise and commands to praise, which underscores the necessity of us understanding that, like prayerlessness, ingratitude is a grievous sin. We have so much to give thanks to God for. And we don't want to be ungrateful people now, do we? Have you ever noticed parents? I did this a lot. You know, the children are small. They're little. They get a little gift. And you want them to say something, right? And so you wait a little bit and they're silent. They're playing with the toy. And you say to your child, what? What do you say? You know, my parental skills are online here. What do you say? Because you don't want your children to grow up rude or ungrateful. You say thank you. You express gratitude to God. You know, we sang that song there. The Lord gives and the Lord takes it away. And we sang it with joy. It was an emotionally expressive chorus. But as a pastor, I have been there when that song could not be sung with joy. It was sung with a gulp. It was sung with a deliberate choice in overwhelming, difficult times. I have actually stood by a grave and heard a mother say, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away," with tears rolling down. And as Ben said just yesterday, I was there for a long time in the hospital. Can you imagine in a small ICU unit, over 45 people there, singing one hymn after another, intertwined with just testimonies, and they almost all started with, "I thank God for," or "I am so grateful for." And they talked about this woman of grace. And then when she finally died, they sang around her bed, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." All is bright? Yes, of course, because Jesus has come into the world and to save us. And so even in those dark and difficult times, even when a gulp is required, there is much to give thanks to God for, right? Well, we have this story here, don't we? 10 lepers. Leprosy was the dreaded disease. It made a person a pariah of the culture of that day. The flesh rotted away. The death, the end of this dreaded disease was death itself. And those who had it were forced to live in a colony of misery. And they would have to shout should they see someone coming close, "Unclean, unclean," as though to say, "Stay away, stay away." And all alone in their misery, somehow news had reached this colony of misery. Jesus was in the vicinity and they had heard the reports. Jesus heals lepers. Well, he had already done it. You remember earlier in Luke's gospel, a leper comes to Jesus and he touches him. He feels compassion and he heals the leper. And they're thinking, who knows? Maybe he will heal us also. And so they stand at a distance and they shout out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus says, "Go and show yourself to the priest," which was required as a verification for healing before they could return to their families. Can you just imagine for a moment what that must have been like? Here they are walking toward the priest. Jesus has already announced the healing word, and all of a sudden, their leprosy disappears. All the things that had been rotted away, well, there they are. Fresh and clean and glorious. And one says, "Now look, Your leprosy is gone. Yours too." And there's healing. And you know what? They all run back to Jesus and sing a 10-voiced psalm of praise to him. No, they didn't. That's not true. But I'll tell you something else that's not true. I once heard a preacher say it in a sermon. Wasn't me. He said, "Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one was grateful." That just cannot be true. That's just no way to read that story. Jesus healed 10 lepers and you know how many were happy about it? All 10. None of them were saying, "You know, on second thought, I want my leprosy back." No, nobody's saying that. No, they're all grateful. They're all grateful, grateful. But only one takes the time to go back to Jesus. Can you hear that parent saying to the child, what do you say? Only one goes back and says, "Thank you." You see, it is not enough to feel grateful. We need to verbalize our gratitude to God. Look at verse 17. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God?" They have every reason to speak words of gratitude. They're all grateful. Where are their words of gratitude to God? I don't think it's an overstatement to say we are often very quick to pray, but not so quick to praise. We feel a sense of urgency when a situation is difficult to shout, "God be merciful to me," but we're not as quick to sing, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven," right? But this one leper comes back and he gives gratitude to God. I had a few other things to say. I'd rather close with a story. You've heard of Charles Spurgeon, right? Great preacher in the Victorian era. One day he was talking to a talkative woman. I'll just leave it at that. And he's trying to share the gospel with this woman, and she just keeps interrupting him. And Spurgeon, who was never at a loss for words, just couldn't get a word in edgewise. Until finally she took a breath, and he jumped in and explained the gospel. And she quietened, and she listened, and she realized she was a sinner, and she wanted to embrace the gospel by faith, and she interrupted Mr. Spurgeon, and she says, "Oh, Reverend Spurgeon, if Jesus saves me, he'll never hear the end of it." That's right. That's right. He ought never to hear the end of it. We have been rescued from darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. Our sins have been all washed away, and He is ours forever. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ our Lord. And no condemnation now hangs over our heads. He's wiped the slate clean. He's given us forgiveness. Don't ever let Him hear the end of it. Because it's not enough to feel grateful. We need to sing His praises and express our gratitude to God. To be found daily at the feet of Jesus in that posture of humility where we're saying, "You are great and I am unworthy by comparison. You alone are worthy of my thanks." And to give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. God bless you all. Let's pray. So, Father, make us a grateful people because we have every reason to be grateful. Such amazing, marvelous love. Such grace. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Thanks be unto you, O God, for your gift too wonderful for words. But all we have is words. So receive our gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen.